I'm sorry, could I ask you to please stand? We could have a little prayer before we begin. Thank you. Yes, Father, this is one trembling heart. And I pray with that song, enter into this trembling heart and all the trembling hearts here today. Thank you, Father, for your love, for your faithfulness, visiting us, loving us, brooding over us again this day. Thank you for everyone, every trembling heart that rose and spoke and shared what was on their heart. Thank you, Father. But now we want to hear your heart, Lord. We know that your Word and your Spirit can come together and, as Jesus promised, guide us into all truth. Guide us, Father. We pray, fulfill thy promise. Do your work. Open eyes. Open doors. Open hearts. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. We pray that your mercy would extend to us again this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, greetings this morning. May the grace and love of God be multiplied to each one of you. I believe He's already done some of that, hasn't He? I was encouraged, I guess you could say, with some of the things that some of you shared. It seemed to my heart a bit of an affirmation of some of the things that God put on my heart to share this morning. And if you've ever preached or been in front of people and you've had a bit of an affirmation like that, you know how that feels. And you know the encouragement that it gives and the confidence not in ourselves but in Christ, and that He is speaking to hearts at the same time in the same ways. It's a very good thing. We covet that. Well, the title of the message this morning is Opening the Right Door. Opening the Right Door. I have learned and seen that in our pursuit of God, there are many doors that come our way. Some need to be opened. Some need to be left shut. And by the guidance of God and the Holy Spirit and His Word, we need to open the right doors, don't we? And go through those things. That doesn't mean it's easy just because the door gets open. Sometimes it's hard. There are doors that are hard to go through sometimes. It's not easy to walk that walk sometimes. But it's the right door and it's the right thing. But I guess I have a question that I need to ask. I think I know the answer, but you know, it's good to ask questions out loud sometimes. There's something about doing that. Jesus did that in much of His teaching and preaching. He would ask questions. Question that I would ask you this morning is, are you pursuing God? Is there evidence to support that you are pursuing God and the kingdom of God? Are you after the things of God? Are you seeking out to find the right doors to open? Do you have a holy urgency to experience the filling of God in your life, the power, the presence of God in your life, in your relationships, in your thinking? You know, it's amazing to me the urgency, the dedication, the zeal that some people have to do things in life. Man is an amazing creature in that. There are men that will spend 12 years plus going to medical school to become a heart surgeon. There are men and women that spend many, many years and thousands of hours training for about 10 seconds in the Olympics to win a gold medal at a 100-yard dash. Isn't that amazing? But the urgency, they'll get up early. They'll eat just so and so and so and so food and not do this and not do that for that single-minded purpose of going from here to there of 100 yards. That's amazing, isn't it? The pursuit of those things. But you know, I don't think anybody accidentally becomes a heart surgeon. I don't think anybody accidentally wins the 100-yard dash at the Olympics and gets a gold medal. And I don't think anybody accidentally pursues God with all their heart. And the Bible agrees with me. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:13, "And ye shall seek me and find me." There's a condition. You know what it is? "When ye shall search for me with" what? "All your heart." So the good news is, when I ask you, are you pursuing God? The good news is you can have Him. You can find Him. But the Bible says only when you pursue Him, you seek Him, you have that holy urgency, that holy dissatisfaction with where you are, that you must go further. And you do it with all your heart. Dearly beloved, this morning, may God give you that kind of heart to be an all-heart Christian. May your daily delight, and goal be the presence of God in your life. And I believe that when that happens, you will truly live and experience revival. Not because you're after revival. You know, the problem with revival meetings is sometimes we're looking for revival. But we're not supposed to be looking for revival. Bible never says look for revival. What does it say? Seek God. It's when we seek God with all of our heart. And then the result of that is amen. Revival. Okay? But it's not the goal. It's the result. Well, turn with me for an opening scripture. We won't spend a lot of time here. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be reading some other similar verses in a few minutes, but I just wanted to start with these two verses here in the middle of this chapter, verses 14 and 15. Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15 say, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see God." See the Lord, excuse me. "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God." We've all been talking a lot about grace. We want that living water. We don't want to fail of that grace, do we? "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." We've been considering, this is the 10th day now, where we've been considering many things about our relationship with God. And this morning, we want to continue to do that. But we want to do so from a different perspective. And several people mentioned it in their testimony this morning. Did you notice that in some of the testimonies? There was more talking about, or at least in the second half of the testimonies, I guess I would say, about their relationship with other people. Did you notice that? And see, that's how you know when God is working. Because it's not just like this. It's also this, isn't it? And so another way the Bible gives a deep and penetrating look at how you really are this way is by looking at how things are this way. Amen. It's all through the Bible. And we know it's true. But you know, sometimes it's easier to just think about this, isn't it? Oh, God is good and the grace of God is flowing. And we don't want to look at that one we have trouble with. We don't want to look at that one that offended us. We don't want to look at our heart and how we feel competition about this one, or someone has not paid a bill at work and we despise that person, and on the list goes on, doesn't it? But that's where we live. So we will measure ourselves and examine our hearts and our relationship this morning. Because if there is anything in this world that can stop the presence of God filling us, that could stop revival, that could rob you of the joy of your salvation, it is unforgiveness and ultimately the resulting flow of unforgiveness in your life toward those hurts and offenses. It ends up in bitterness. So, a couple of people even mentioned that this morning, didn't they? Now, amen. God is in the restoration business. And I believe God can restore all those things. He can take away that diminished flow of the grace of God in your life, that darkness that seems to shroud the Christian life at times, and we hardly know how to find ourselves out of the fog. But strangely, He often starts in places we don't expect Things this way. Things this way. And so that's what we want to look at this morning. There is not a life, there is not a relationship that has dimmed that God cannot restore. God can do that. Unforgiveness and its culmination and growth into bitterness is a deadly, dangerous thing. Did you notice the wording in this? Looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. See, there is something that can actually cause the grace of God to fail. That is an ominous, ominous verse, isn't it? How many here want the grace of God to fail? We know the answer. Absolutely not. But, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. But here's the other result. It isn't just stay with you and there's unforgiveness in your heart, and thereby many be defiled. And the many, again, is this way, isn't it? And it's just, it goes on. It doesn't just stay. We kind of think, men are funny creatures. We kind of think we just sweep some of these things under a rug and boom, it's over there. Not realizing that after a while it humps up and everybody that comes by trips over it and gets hurt as well. You know, the funny thing about unforgiveness and bitterness, its resulting thing in bitterness, is that it's an underground sin. Notice it calls it a root. Roots don't grow on the top of the ground, do they? They grow down underneath. I've been in counseling rooms many times over the last 14 or 15 years, and rarely when I ask a person if they're bitter, will they say yes. Because it's deep. It's often down here, below the surface. It isn't as evident as you would like to think it is. That's why the Bible calls it a root. And so by the grace of God, we want to plow just a little bit this morning and see what turns up. And see what comes to the surface so that God can help us yet again. And I know these things start small. We're offended. Hurts come. We get talked about. Maybe we get kicked out of a church. Maybe even some of you here I know have been excommunicated from different churches, Amish churches, whatever. I don't know. We get talked wrongly about. A neighbor takes advantage of us or misuses us. Business things, so many things can happen. Hurts in the home, angry parents, hypocrisy. All of these things. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. We want to read a couple of other verses here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. Interestingly enough, verses 14 and 15, again, as they were in Hebrews, I often wonder at these things in the Bible. I don't think they're coincidences, but Matthew 6, 14 and 15. I don't know about you, but there are certain verses in the Bible that when I read them, I don't really like to read them. I have to confess that. They kind of make me flinch a little bit and think, what if it's true? But it is true, isn't it? And that's what makes me flinch. Verse 14, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Turn over to Mark chapter 11. Verse 25. Mark 11, 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against who? Any. Any. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. I remember back almost 25 years ago, I had been a Christian about a year. I was born again in 1984. 4. This was 1985. And I was cruising along in that early glow of the Christian life where you're born again and, you know, there's a lot of excitement and there's things going on, and I praise God for those, that afterglow birth effect of being born again. And but I noticed in my life there were some things I couldn't understand, I couldn't explain. There was still some sin in my life that I wasn't sure what to do about, and things happening and struggles in my heart, and not everything was still the way I wanted it to be, and I didn't have a lot of wisdom. I didn't know a lot about the Christian life. I was actually still in the Catholic Church at that time. We were born again when we were still Catholics, and I hadn't left the Catholic Church, and so I wasn't getting any teaching per se. I hadn't yet discovered, even at that time, a Christian bookstore. Believe it or not, you're going to think I'm naive. Or I guess I was. There's just a lot of things I didn't know. But the one thing that I did know is I was supposed to read my Bible. So I read my Bible. And I didn't know really a lot about that other than I would just start at the beginning and read through it. That was just the way it happened for me. And I came upon this verse in Matthew 6. And I didn't like that verse. I wasn't sure. It seemed almost conditional. My relationship with God was now conditional upon my relationship with other people. I thought, what about grace? And, you know, I had all those things in my mind and a lot of things I didn't understand. And yet there it was. If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Years before that, this was 1985, years before that, exactly almost 15 years before that, in the summer of 1970 in June, I was 15 years old, and my father decided to do something that day he had never done. He decided to take a motorcycle, this little motorcycle he had just bought. It was a Honda Trail 90, just a little scooter, you could almost call it. It could only go maybe 40 miles an hour. We had a bunch of woods beside our house, and he bought it so we could go in the woods and go back on these trails and all this sort of thing. But he decided to take it to work. And on his way to work that day, he went through this very upscale, fancy neighborhood called Bellefonte. And there was a big, prestigious country club there. And he went to work in the afternoon. He worked evening turn. He worked at the railroad in the brake shop there, repairing brakes on the railroad cars. And he was going through on the main road there, and this lady had been out golfing all morning with her friends, and she was on her way back home. And after golfing, as was their habit, they would have a couple of three martinis. She was drunk in the middle of the day. She crossed over the traffic, plowed right into my father on his little motorcycle. There was a witness there, and he flew up end over end. As he was flying over the car, his helmet popped off. By the time he made it over the pavement on the other side, the helmet was gone, and the back of his head was caved in. He lived a few hours, but died a little while later in a hospital that same day. That was an event in my life as a young person. That caused a lot of pain. A lot of things happened in my life because of that. And in my own mind, I don't know that I thought it in these words, but in my own mind, I was convinced that I was right and had every right to feel resentment, to judge her, to be disgusted with her, to despise her, I guess you could say, for what she did to me, my father, and my life. In my mind, I weighed her in the balance. If you know justice in this system, in America, if you go to any courthouse, there'll be a statue or a painting on the wall of Lady Justice. She'll be blind, but she's always holding something in her right hand. You know what it is? It's this weight, these scales. Justice is supposed to be fair. It's supposed to weigh things out. When we know in the Bible, God hates false balances, right? And so justice is supposed to be just so, right? And in my mind, I had weighed her, and she came up wanting. And so for 15 years, I'd had these hard feelings. What did she ever do to deserve forgiveness? How could things ever be made right? But now it is 15 years later, and I'm a Christian for almost a year. And suddenly all these thoughts about her came back to me. I hadn't thought of her in years. And yet it was always like a root. You know those roots I said earlier? They're kind of below the ground. I didn't walk around every day thinking about her. It was 15 years later. But it was back there. There was this root. You know, and that's the way roots are. They're under the ground. And I remembered thinking she was guilty. She was wrong. Yet in the fog of all that thinking and emotions, I realized this verse was true. And I needed God in my life. And I realized that if God isn't going to forgive me, because I knew I was still sinning, how can I have the relationship with God I want to have? It's not possible, is it? And so if I can't forgive her, the Bible is actually saying I can't actually have the kind of relationship, maybe any relationship with God, that I want to have. You see, it came to me that the symbol of Christianity is the cross. And though these two look alike, if you take away this and this, the symbol of Christianity is the cross, not the scales of justice. There's a big difference. They may be alike if I cover this up, but the roads these lead to are entirely different. Entirely different. So somehow, 25 years ago, I'm not sure how I can explain it, but I mustered up a little bit of faith. I'm sure it was smaller than the seed of a mustard seed, however small that is. And I told God, I choose to forgive her. And you know, something happened, and I did forgive her. I can't explain all that, but I did it just by faith. I didn't figure it all out. I'm sure I didn't do it all right. But something changed in my heart. And something changed in my relationship with God, too. I began to be able to draw closer to God in a way that I'd never been able to before. So, this verse is very simple, isn't it? If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's a very simple verse. But what will we do with it? What does it mean? It seems to say somehow that my relationship with God is directly tied to my relationship with other people. Is that what it's really saying? And tougher than that, it seems to say that God's dealings with me, whether He'll forgive me or not, is somehow tied to how I deal with other people. Now, I don't know what that does to all your theology, but that's just what the Bible is saying, isn't it? Let's start from this perspective. How many here today want to be in a state where you have sinned? And we all know that we sometimes sin. It does happen. You have done wrong. You have sinned. And yet, God does not forgive you for that sin. No one here would want to be in that state. Of course not. Brother Rick, how could you ask such a question? No one would want to be in that state. And yet it appears possible to be in that state based on this verse. I don't think God puts things in the Bible just on a whim that it could never happen. This is reality. This can happen. There can be unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever you want to call it, in your heart towards someone. And they have trespassed you. See, some people think when we talk about this, we're trying to make light of what people did to you. I'm not making light of what that woman did. She was drunk. She was irresponsible. She killed my father. Someone, maybe they've done something to you. Maybe someone has misused you, mistreated you, been angry at you. Maybe they've even violated your purity in immoral ways. I don't know what people have done to you, but in this world, people do things that are very damaging to other people. It does happen. I'm not making light of those things and just saying, you know, yeah, just forgive them. It's not a little thing. I don't get the sense when I read this that Jesus is bringing this up. He's bringing it up because it's a little thing. It's a big thing. He's not saying it doesn't hurt. He's not saying it's easy. Again, grace is free, but it's not cheap. You know, it does cost. But what does it cost? So you've done wrong, yet God does not forgive you. But let's follow this through. Then if you were to die in that state that we talked about it a minute ago, that we all agreed none of us wanted to be in, how many here would want to then appear before God, before the judgment seat Brother Ross talked about, was that Friday or Saturday night? I lose track of nights. But appear before God with that still on your account. But yet it appears it might be possible for that to happen. If I don't forgive someone, and then by definition God says here, He doesn't forgive me, and then I died in that state, would that not still be on my account according to the Word of God? If I am in a relationship with God and He is not forgiving me, as it seems very possible from this, for my mistakes, for my sins, for my trespasses, won't that affect my relationship with Him? Won't that affect whether or not when I pray, God, fill me with Your Spirit? Won't that affect that prayer too? When I want the presence and the power of God, but it's hindered and it's not coming and I don't know why, could it be there's something wrong this way in my life that is hindering what I want this way in my life? It can happen. It does happen. So we have been seeking God this past 10 days, and amen. And we've all been looking to get closer to God. Hallelujah. But the question today before us that is very foundational, very essential is this. If our relationships are not right with each other, if I have unforgiveness in our hearts towards someone, and that someone usually isn't someone that is way out there. You know, usually that is people that we know. People that are in our life. Do you find it interesting, speaking of direct relationships, of spiritual things, and our relationship with God, did you ever notice in the Bible, we won't take time to turn there, but when God is giving qualifications for ministers, you notice one of the things that He harps on or repeats over and over is relationships with your wife, with your children, with your boss, with your employees, with those that you know in the community. It's all this way, and you're thinking, well, God, You should be talking about how good He preaches or how much time He spends in prayer and all that. But, you know, it's interesting what's on God's list sometimes. It's not my list, it's God's list. So it is directly tied. What's going on this way is directly tied to how things are this way. And so if things aren't going well this way, there will be, by definition, that cloud, that fog, that sense of I'm not getting through like I want to God. And God is saying, look that way. Look at those you've hurt. Look at those that have hurt you. And it may be your neighbor who has misused you. Maybe your parents, your own children. Husbands sometimes get angry and say things they shouldn't, and it hurts their wives. You need to forgive them. And it goes the other way too. Sometimes husbands don't lead the home the right way they should. They don't take responsibilities and the wife is offended or hurt. I'm not saying it's right that he's doing that. It's still a serious thing. But for your part, you still have to forgive him. Because see, if we will not forgive men, it isn't that man isn't some man 2,000 miles away. It may be the man you're living with. In fact, it usually is. You know, and if your wife is not submitting to you, and you know she's not in her place and things are just not working in the home, and I'm not minimizing that because God doesn't minimize it. It's still a serious thing. But you still need to forgive her. Forgive her trespasses, or God will not forgive you yours. See, it gets really, really tight. The circle gets really close on this one. You know, sometimes ministers hurt you. You know, sometimes ministers, we're men and we blunder and we say the wrong thing. And maybe we even talk bad about you and, yeah, I don't know. We do things that are just not right. And I'm not defending that. We do make mistakes. And for some reason, that hurts very bad. Because they're men who are supposed to not do those things. And they're supposed to be caring for our souls. But they say something. They do something. And it isn't right. And maybe they never even come to make it right. You see, if everybody came and made everything right, we wouldn't need this. We could go to this, right? We could just weigh everybody out and say, you know what, they've really done right. They've really confessed that thing. I think I can forgive them now. Do you think that's what God is talking about here? It's not, is it? Forgiveness for the Christian is the way we live every day, the way we see the world. It's through the eyes of grace and through the eyes of the Lord Jesus. You know, when the woman was caught in adultery, the one they dragged in front of Jesus, I don't know that I ever heard her say in the Bible she was sorry. But did Jesus Christ condemn her or forgive her? What did He do? He forgave her. He released her. Did she do it all right? Did she say it all right? Did He weigh her actions in the balance? And, oh, she's repented enough. She spilled her bucket. She threw something in the bucket, in the barrel, and we burned it. Now we can release her. And I'm not letting people off the hook. Yes, you need to repent. But I'm just saying, we're not talking about that side today. We're talking about this side. Okay? I can't balance all these things in one message. But you hear God's heart. Because this is what God is saying. If ye will not forgive trespasses that have been against you, God will not forgive the trespasses that you have with God. Beloved, there is no way, based on this verse, revival and seeking God can move forward like it should until this condition is dealt with in your heart. I can't deal with it for you, and you can't deal with it for me. Amen. We can pray for each other, and we need to do that. And some here today even asked for us to pray for them in this same area. But it's your heart that needs to find the way to grace and faith. This is a door you need to open. This door of forgiveness. And this door is one that's often buried deep. It's sometimes hard to find your way to that door. But you need to, and you need to open it. And I know some of you have had terrible experiences, things I dare not name here. Do you know, there's a book called When Bad Things Happen to Good Marriages by Drs. Les and Leslie Perot, and in their book, they said the failure to give and receive forgiveness accounts for nearly every marriage that fails. The failure to give or receive forgiveness accounts for nearly every marriage that fails. Forgiveness is one of those powerful forces that God has in the world. But it has the power to bring about many things. I found this illustration interesting. It's in a physical sense, but it's interesting how often we can see things from a physical perspective, and then that illuminates or lightens a spiritual truth. You ever notice that? Jesus often taught that way. But I read about a study from the University of Wisconsin in Madison. They took 36 middle-aged men, and they all had severe coronary heart issues. Their coronary arteries were restricted. What is that called? Arterial sclerosis? No, I can't remember the right name. But you know, when it's getting tight and the blood flow is restricted, it's not going through there. So they took half of those 36 men and they gave them a 1 week intensive seminar on forgiveness, how to forgive, why you need to forgive, the results of forgiveness, how to walk it through, how to contact the people, you know, just to understand forgiveness. Then the other half, this is a public college. It's not a Christian college. I wonder sometimes why they do these things. But anyway, The other half, the other team, they didn't mention a word about this. They just treated him as they always do with their blood pressure medicine and all those kind of things. Within 1 week after the 1 week of training, the group that had went through the course, their blood flow over doubled the amount of the flow of blood to their heart. Now, forgiveness makes a big difference in a lot of ways. This is not a little issue. You know, the stress, the tightness, the anxiety, the cloud, the shroud that unforgiveness brings, it is a powerful force. It can even affect, according to this study, and I believe it's true, our physical bodies. So then, beloved, what is forgiveness? What is forgiveness? It is the act of the heart. It's an act of the heart, an attitude and of the mouth that gives the one who is guilty, and yes, they are guilty, release. Forgiveness treats the offender as innocent. Forgiveness is more than just saying, oh, it's okay, it doesn't matter. Sometimes my children, when we're teaching them to apologize, they say, well, you know, somebody will apologize and say, well, it's okay, it doesn't really matter. And we actually in our home say, no, you're not allowed to say it doesn't matter, because if it doesn't matter, then they didn't do anything wrong. No, you need to forgive them. It does matter. You need to release them. There's a difference. Unforgiveness, on the other hand, is a deliberate mindset, even though sometimes I say deliberate, I don't even think we think this through, but it is a decision somewhere in the mind to do the opposite, to be offended. Now, if I would ask you, are you on purpose being offended? No one in the room would say yes. But let's be honest, we are offended sometimes, aren't we? We are hurt. And that mindset of unforgiveness is to not let the wrongdoer go. But this also must be understood, this is a heart and attitude issue. It can even be subtle. We can even sort of convince ourselves that we've forgiven somebody, but we really haven't. And we'll talk about that later, how you can sometimes tell. Forgiveness takes the sin seriously. My sin is a serious thing before a holy God. I don't think God just says, well, yeah, okay, Rick, it's no big deal that you sinned. We'll just let her go. The symbol of Christianity is the cross. What happened on the cross because of my sin? Jesus died. His blood was shed. Sin is serious. Forgiveness is not blind. But forgiveness says, yes, I was hurt. Yes, you did wrong. But I will not hold it to your account. I will not hold it against your account. I choose to release you, to treat you as innocent. Aren't you glad God deals with you that way? God treats us as if we are innocent. That the just one had to die for the unjust ones. And treat us as if we are holy and righteous. It's a wonderful thing. Forgiveness for the Christian, therefore, is a positive action. It's not something we stumble across. It's not just a response because somebody did something right. Maybe you've heard or you've thought, I'll forgive them when they come and apologize. And I'm not here today to preach about apologies. And yes, you should make things right and you should apologize. That's another message. But you know, you should forgive them even if they don't. Because you know, most people in most situations never make things right. You know, because how do you balance the scales of the hurt someone has really done? How do you really make that right? How do you just weigh that in the balance and say, you know what? They've cried three buckets of tears. Boom, I forgive them. I don't think it can work that way. It cannot work that way. I don't know about you, but I don't always do it just right when I confess to God. I don't always say it just right. But I believe by faith in the Word of God that He forgives me. And that my sins are as far as the east is from the west, under the blood of Jesus Christ. And they are even not just forgiven, but according to the New Testament, they are what? Forgotten. How do we go that far? I don't know. I can't understand that one. But I'm sure glad of it. But you know, I don't think you're ever going to forget what somebody did to you, by the way. till you really forgive them. You know? It will be there. Even that woman, even though that was deep in the back of my mind, you know what? It was still there. It was still there. And it was still affecting my thinking. Though I may not have thought about it every day, it was still part of who I was. But you know, today I don't even know her name. I've actually forgotten. I'm glad to say I've forgotten her name. I've forgotten what happened. But it grows dimmer. You know, it just, there's things about it I am forgetting. I'm not where I want to be. But if I'd never forgiven her, I can tell you what, I would never have forgotten her name. I would never have forgotten her name. And amen. Yes, I know this is hard. Forgiveness is hard work. It takes honesty. It takes a willingness to not just pretend that I wasn't hurt. It's that tendency again, especially in us men this side of the room, just to, I'm okay. We sweep it under that rug. Yeah, it doesn't bother me. It's okay. I don't think about that. And we sweep it under the rug. But it doesn't work. Sometimes people have difficulty forgiving people because they don't want the confrontation. They don't want to face the issues. It's hard work. And you might say to me again, but isn't God's grace and forgiveness free? The answer is yes, grace is free, but it's not cheap. When God's grace comes into our lives, it does not leave us as we were. It changes us and the way we think and the way we relate with other people. That's what this verse is really saying in Matthew. If you're really changed, brother, if you're really changed, sister, it will affect. There will be enough grace in your life to flow out to other people. And if there's not, God is saying, I wonder where the grace of God really is in your life. Because it takes grace and faith to forgive people who've offended you. That's hard work sometimes. Hard in our minds and in our hearts is what I mean. To work through that. I'm not saying it's an easy thing. But one of the first things that changes when the grace of God is real in our life is it gives us the power to forgive. You know there's power in grace. We sometimes think grace is just this feel-good, mushy stuff that floats around. It is a power. The grace of God has the power to do things. It's the grace of God that saved me, and it's grace when I forgive someone who's really offended me. It's not me, it's the grace of God that has come into me and now it can flow this way. But if it's not flowing this way and this way, there's something wrong. You must see this. You know, there's another verse we should probably see. 1 John. About talking about how things flow this way as well as between us and God. Look at, this verse up here made me think of it this morning. This is verse 19. Do you know what the next two verses say right after verse 19? Pretty shocking verses. If a man say, I love God, and hateth, despiseth, doesn't forgive, well, however you want to say it, his brother, he is a what?
Liar.
Strong words. The Bible uses strong words sometimes, doesn't it? The Bible isn't afraid to plow up the ground and see what root may be down there. For he that loveth not his brother, he that forgiveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Can again you see the direct connection? If there's something wrong this way, God is saying, sorry, there's something even worse wrong this way. That's hard to hear, isn't it? But we must hear it. Because that will fog over our minds and our hearts and it will restrict the flow of the grace of God in our life. And we won't find God like we should. And so by definition, we won't find revival like we'd like to. Because something is restricting it, clouding it. Something is wrong. Like love, forgiveness is something that we know that we should do. Everyone here knows that we should love one another, right? I think there's... I did a teaching on it about 10 years ago. There's 38 or 39, I forget, one another verses in the New Testament. Out of those, 17 have in the word love one another. Out of the 38 or 39, I'm pretty sure I'm right, it's 17. I haven't looked at that sermon in a long time. 17 of them are about loving one another. This is once you get to the epistles, okay? This is Paul. So we all know that, don't we? Amen? But often we don't stop to think about the implications involved of not loving or not forgiving someone. We often think, let me say it this way, we often think that we love because there are people that we love. We often think we forgive because there are people whom we have forgiven. And we think that we love because we love most people, forgetting about those that we do not love. We just sort of conveniently put them in a box over here. And we think we forgive because we think about the people we forgive, forgetting about the people that we have not forgiven. But it doesn't seem in these verses in Matthew or Mark, God is saying, yeah, you know, you can take a certain percentage of those people and sweep them under the rug and not deal with them, and that's okay with me. There's not a get out of jail free card in Matthew 6 or in Mark 11 that I see there. We think we forgive because we have forgiven some people, forgetting about those that we have not forgiven. Beloved, listen. We are commanded here in these two passages, and I believe in the spirit of many others, that we must forgive. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. It's not a you should get to it later. It is a command from God. It is the Word of God. A lot of you might think, well, as long as I'm really seeking God, as long as I'm really reading my Bible and trying hard to experience the presence of God, it'll probably just work out anyway. But that is not what these verses say to us today. That is not what God is confronting us with today. How we relate to others is directly tied to our relationship with God. We cannot untie that rope. If we know God's love, then we can know and will know love for others. But the opposite is also true. If you do not love others, then the Bible would say here in 1 John, you do not really love God. Sobering words. If you do not know how to forgive, I believe the Bible would say, I don't know if you can experience the forgiveness of God. In fact, God says He will not forgive you. Unforgiveness hurts us on many, many levels. Relationships, I know. You know, relationships are interesting things. They're one of the most wonderful, blissful things when they're right that there is on this earth. It's a wonderful thing to be in right relationship. But you know, they're also hard. You know one of the reasons they're hard? They expose who we really are. They expose just how self-centered we can be. Because until I rub up against you the wrong way, and you rub up against me the wrong way, there's things about me I'm not going to know. You know? There's things about you you're not going to know. It's not easy to forgive, but God in His grace gives us power to do it. And we are able to do it because God ultimately is in charge, and we must have faith in His ways. You know, we know the story, and I'm not going to take time to read it or go through it to any degree, but we know the story of Joseph. His brothers threw him in the pit. They were going to kill him, got talked out of it, sold into slavery, went to prison, terribly misused by his brothers. Terribly misused. Hatred was there. Just the feelings of knowing that it's not like a stranger picked him out of the camp and threw him in the pit. It was his own brethren, his blood relatives. Those that should have been protecting him were hurting him. But what did Joseph say in Genesis chapter 50? He knew God was in charge. He had decided before they ever came to forgive them. And so when they finally came and they were still worried that he hadn't forgiven them, he finally says to them 10 chapters later, in chapter 50, the last chapter of Genesis, "But as for you," speaking to those that had done this to him, "ye thought evil against me." See, he's not making little of what they had done, but he's already forgiven them. "But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." See, he knew God was in charge. You know, forgiving people for what they've done to you doesn't mean it didn't happen. They really did evil against Joseph. People, some of them I'm sure have done evil against you. They've said evil of you. Maybe people have lied about you, gossiped, slandered, hurt you, hurt your children. I don't know, but it is there, and it is painful. But God is in charge. We must learn the secret of Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Basically the same verses in Colossians 3:13 as well. But turn to Ephesians chapter 4. The last verse of that chapter says, "And be ye kind one to another." It's in one of those 38 one another verses. "Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." So the basis of forgiveness is what? If I am to forgive my brother who's offended me, what is the basis of the forgiveness according to this? The same way that what? God has forgiven me. And what is this basis on which God has forgiven me? Which one? This one. Right? Did God forgive me based on this? Or this? Is it fair that Jesus had to die for my sins? No. Did I make it right when I repented just the right way? He still died. It still hurt. There was still a cost. And God forgave me because of His grace and His mercy. We sometimes don't even understand salvation, I fear. It's not because of what we've done. It's everything because of what Christ has done. It's the grace and mercy of God. And so He says to you, when a brother or sister, somebody's offended you, you forgive them the same way I forgive you. The basis of that is what? Grace. Grace. And I don't know about you, but I don't want it any other way. What basis do you want God to forgive you on? On how you do things? How you say things? Or based upon the cross? It's the cross. It's the cross. We are able to forgive in the light of God's forgiveness. Jesus lets us know that if we refuse to forgive, then in reality, what I think He's saying behind the scenes here is, if we refuse to forgive, then we really haven't grasped our great need of forgiveness. Because see, once you really see yourself as who you really are, wretched, undone, a sinner, wicked, and then the grace and mercy of God comes to you, you know what can come out of that? A heart to forgive others. Because you've seen, you've been there. You've been the one who's offended God. You've been the one who's done the wrong thing. You know you have no excuses before a holy God. None. And yet, whoosh, grace comes. Forgiveness comes. And it changes everything. It changes how you see God. It even changes how you see yourself. You can even lift your head. Not in pride, but in rejoicing. Right? And thankfulness. And it's out of that heart that then God says, forgive. Deliver us from being self-centered, Lord. And when our eyes are on the cross, the pain and suffering that Jesus went through appears to us, and we can forgive others. Ultimately, beloved, what I'm saying is this. Ultimately, forgiveness is an act of faith. Just like I found that little teeny, smaller than the seed of a mustard seed faith 25 years ago, you'll still need to find it today. I still need it today as much as I did then. Faith, I don't know how to forgive somebody now because I've got it all figured out. I don't have this whole thing figured out. But I trust the Word of God and I believe God's ways. And so by faith, I'm saying that you must come to the point where you see forgiveness is an act of faith. You may not see how it's all going to turn out. You may not even appreciate the way the person responds to you. You may not even be able to go to the person. Maybe they've already died. I don't know. There's relationships like that where somebody in your past has hurt you. But you can still make it right with your own heart with God, can't you? Still important. And by forgiving another, I'm trusting, when you take this act of faith, I'm trusting that God is a better justice maker than I am. By forgiving another, I'm trusting that God is a better justice maker than I am. I release my rights to get even. I release all the issues of fairness. I release everything to God to work it out. I leave in God's hands the scales. You know, God does say in the Bible, someday He's going to make everything right. And you know what? Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He'll make it right. But don't you pick it up. And unforgiveness is you picking it up, beloved. And that's why God doesn't want you to touch it. Because it will diminish and darken and restrict the flow of grace and His presence in your life. And the very thing you want, you won't have because of something this way. Even though you keep looking this way. You know, tithing is an act of faith too, by the way, beloved. Because sometimes you need to tithe, you should tithe, God wants you to tithe, and He loves a cheerful giver. But, you know, you don't understand it all. How am I going to pay the bills? You know, tithing is an act of faith, that God is in control. God has everything covered. God will provide for my needs. We must forgive those who hurt us, because God commands it, and it's an act of faith. And our own forgiveness from God, according to the Scriptures, hinges on our forgiving other people. How can we really get right with God and have His fullness of His presence if there is unforgiveness in our hearts? You know, I said earlier we'd talk about how can you know, and I don't have all the answers, but here's two things really quick. Some Christians believe they have forgiven another person that's wronged them, and yet the roots are still there in their heart. There's at least two indications. I'm sure there's many more. First, you know you have forgiven when your feelings, when your heart towards that other person have changed. When you see him or her and you don't flinch. You don't frown inwardly. You know, you can frown inwardly. Sadly, we can smile at somebody, but inside there's a frown. You know what I'm talking about? But when that's gone, then you're not frowning. You're not flinching. You're aware that something is different in your own heart. The resentment is gone. Secondly, you know your forgiveness is genuine when you actually can begin to feel concern for them. Not at them, but for them. You care about their spiritual welfare. You actually pray for what's best for them. Not that they make things right with you, but that they make things right with God for their sakes, not for your sake, for their sake. When those kind of feelings start happening, when those kind of heart issues start happening, forgiveness is there with it. It comes right with it, I believe. And I think there's other things. I don't have time to go over anymore, but I need to ask you this morning, is there someone you need to forgive? Is there someone who you haven't talked to in a long time? Is there someone in your own family that you live with every day, but there's this knot somewhere in your heart or in your stomach? They've misused you. They've mistreated you. They've become angry, said harsh words. Maybe there's someone outside of the home again that has slandered or told untruths about you or judged you and made you to feel something that you're not, and they've said things about you that have cut you deep in your heart. You need to come today and ask God for faith. Faith to forgive them. Faith to release them. To let them go. To treat them as innocent. To treat them by faith, turn them over to God, who is the great justice maker. God will make all those things right. You and I can never do it. I read a story a few months ago about a man. He was a poet by trade. That's how he made his living. And he worked all of his life writing his poetry and sold it to magazines and books and different things and made a decent living. And he had a really good friend who was a banker. And he entrusted all of his savings, all of his investments to this friend because he was a, you know how poets, I guess they say they're kind of like off in their own little poetry world or whatever. He didn't understand business, so he just gave it all to his friend. And came up time for him to retire in his 60s, and his friend took off to parts unknown, and his own friend, his own banker, misappropriated, embezzled, stole everything. He had not a penny left. This man was a Christian, but he became bitter, resentful, unforgiving towards the man that had stolen his retirement. But he was a Christian. And in a few weeks, after all these things were heavy on his heart, God spoke to him and said, "The candle of joy of your salvation has been blown out by your unforgiving, resentful heart." Because see, he'd also then decided he needed to go back to work. And when he sat down to write poetry, guess what happened? Nothing came out the end of his pen. He couldn't write a single line. Something stopped him. He was frozen. God said, "Son," you know, God can call somebody 60 son, by the way. "Son, You need to forgive. You need to let him go. Treat him as innocent. Release them. Somehow he found faith. And so he wrote down, because men like that write things down, he wrote down in his diary, "Oh my God, through Your grace I forgive. I believe in Your ways, and based upon that, I forgive. I proclaim to You that because of Your grace and Your faith, I forgive this man and I release him." Immediately he started thinking of poetry. 1st poem that he wrote down was about that banker, friend, ex-friend, I guess you could say. And he wrote this little poem. It said, "He," speaking about the banker friend, "He drew a circle that shut me out, careless, a thing to flout. But Christ and I had the will to win. We drew a new circle that took Him in." And that circle was the circle of forgiveness. There may be somebody in your life who's drawn a circle that you feel like pushed you out, put you at arm's length, did something to you. But the Lord can help you to draw a new circle, a circle of forgiveness. You can release them. You can treat them as innocent. The choice is yours today to choose faith and grace and forgiveness towards that person. Why don't we have a song, Brother Roy, and we'll have an invitation, give you the opportunity if you need to respond today and come to the altar and seek God to forgive someone, whoever that someone is, by faith and by grace, to release them. It will change your life. God has promised these things. What song do we have?
Number 906. 906.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word.
Grace is there. Just believe God. Have faith that if there's something you need to do, something you need to draw that circle back around and forgive God, that the opportunity is here this morning. Grace is here. God is here. Amen. Bless you, Jesus. All right, let's sing the last verse there.
Oh,
I drew a couple of circles on the board, a small one, then another circle outside of that small one, and then another circle. You know, forgiveness, oftentimes I have found in my life, is easier for those that are farther from me. Like Brother Rick shared, he didn't know this person. But that awful event, that fateful day. But you know, God gave grace to forgive the magnitude, you know, of what took place. And hallelujah, there shouldn't be a circle of limit, should there? There shouldn't be a circle. But our forgiveness should reach so far as Jesus Christ has forgiven us, you know, to all. But I wonder here this morning, as you consider in your own life that circle, when there's a trespass right next to your closest friend, and it's someone who also is a Christian, that's when it becomes difficult. And sometimes we sort of get in this human mindset. You know, Jesus, the disciples said, if my brother trespass against me, how oft shall I forgive him? If he trespass against me 7 times in one day, and I forgive him 7 times, have I passed the test? Have I done well? Jesus said, not until 7 times, but till 70 times 7. So my dear brothers and sisters this morning, if your heart is faint because you've had to forgive 7 times, 10 times, and the poison of unforgiveness starts to settle in and you say, you know what, they don't deserve to be forgiven, because they keep hurting me. Oh, I beg of you this morning, forgive, that you may be free. You know, the Scriptures recognize this very clearly. Bitterness even tells us, husbands, be not bitter against your wife. It's one of the closest human relationships on earth is in marriage, husbands and wives. Wife, husband, today, is there unforgiveness in your relationship? Is there bitterness? Are you bitter toward your wife? The altar is open. You can forgive. You can release. A lot of times in close relationships, it's like a poison and a cancer, and it starts to spread. And it grows and it grows. And you may not even know you have it at first, but one day it'll be manifest. So, thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has forgiven us. He that is forgiven much, loveth much. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The just for the unjust, the lovely for the unlovely. And thank you, Lord, that there is a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. And Father, today we pray that if there's anyone sitting under the sound of our voice who is yet bound in the sin of unforgiveness and bitterness, that you in your gentle mercy, in your gentle love, would draw them to the Savior, that they could come and cast all of their sin upon Jesus. Father, bless these who have responded. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. bless our brother Rick for preaching the word of the Lord to us. Thank you, Father, for being gracious and merciful to us. For Lord, we don't doubt we heard from you. If we are on our face crying out for fullness of the Holy Ghost, but we have unforgiveness, there we will be stopped. Because you give your Holy Spirit to them that obey you, in Acts it tells us. So, Father, forgive us where we have been playing games or trying to twist your arm for some manifestation of power when we have not been willing to deal with our human relationships. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us today. Thine is the power and the glory. Thine be the honor forever. Amen. All right, I would like to recommend that all those that have responded at the altar open up their hearts one to another and confess. So, Brother Emmanuel, I'm not sure if we could maybe make two circles. I'm not sure. But the weather is pleasant. You could actually go outside in the yard. But I'll let you discern that because we do have a fellowship meal here. I encourage all of those who have responded at the altar, it does us good to open our mouth and confess to others that we may be healed. So if you would rise to your feet, those who have responded to the altar, and make your way to my left, to your right, and go down the basement, and Emmanuel will be there to meet you, and he will facilitate that. So we encourage you to do that. Brethren, if you could rise to your feet and make your way downstairs to the basement. And then sisters will follow. If we could have a few sisters available for personal counseling if need be, and a few brethren, that if someone needs personal counseling. But again, I just encourage us to open our hearts one to another. God bless you. Jesus is standing near. Hallelujah. He will in no wise cast us out when we come to Him. All right, we'll take a few moments here to open it up here. If there's someone feels led of the Lord to share something, but let's mind the Spirit of Christ. Not just say something for the sake of saying something, but is there someone who would want to open up their heart? There's a hand up front here on the brother's side. Thank you, Lord. Okay, go ahead.
Really appreciated the message this morning. I think it's such a key issue for us. One of the things that was shared with me some time ago that has been a real help is that forgiveness means that I don't rehearse the wrong in my own mind, I don't rehearse it to anybody else, and I don't rehearse it to that person. And that's been helpful to me. We don't forget. Those things stay in our mind, and that's okay. That's just the way it operates. But as we truly forgive, we release that person. The Bible uses forgiveness in relationship to money debts. And if somebody's paid us back what they owed us, then we don't keep asking them, well, come pay me. If it's taken care of, then it's taken care of. You forget about it. And that's the way God wants us to do. When we release them, the debt's paid, and we don't rehearse it anymore.
Amen. Is there anyone on the sister's side? We have a hand on the sister's side in the middle area. And we have a hand in the back with a brother. Okay? Yes, go ahead in the back.
Yes, I was very thankful to be here this morning that I could be a part of this service and the spirit of this service. I was so blessed to be here today that you'd allow me to come. I was very blessed also with the opening, as Brother Aaron shared there, and that we can just continue to seek God's face. And I think of times in my life where God has forgiven, has given me the opportunity to where I have to practice forgiving others. And it's just been such a blessing to know that when I make that step of forgiving someone, that it's like my Christian life takes several steps at once. And it's just such a blessing to experience those times when God convicts your heart and you can just forgive those that have hurt you.
Thank you, Brother Seth. Amen. on the brother's side.
I am so thankful for the Word of God this morning. I can stand just rejoicing in the work that God has done in my heart. And that I can, you know, just searching my heart to the message. And God, is there anybody that I have not truly forgiven? And I can honestly say that there isn't. You know, I am free and clear in that area. But I want to beg that if I have hurt anybody or said anything that was not of the Spirit of God, that would have caused any to stumble or to falter in their Christian life, I'm begging you, please come to me and talk to me about it. I would love to talk with you about that. So, amen. Just come to me. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Yes, on the sister's side.
I want to confess my self-sufficiency. When Brother Philip used that word in the message yesterday, I knew it struck home with me, but I actually don't even know the degree that I have it in my life. And I would just ask for prayer that I could turn my sufficiency away from myself and onto the Lord. And I think one thing that the Lord has showed me, it sometimes brings frustration and anger into my life. That is not always evident, but does come out too sometimes. And just, it must also lead to then controlling my husband. And I would just ask you to pray for me that I would find my sufficiency in Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Yes, there's one on the brother's side here.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Brother Emmanuel who gave a few words. It might have been last night. My memory's not clear. But it really stuck in my heart how in the upper room there they were in one accord for 10 days. When Brother Rick got up to preach, he began by saying, you know, it's been 10 days, we've had 10 meetings together. And my heart just rejoiced when I heard his topic. Because it's been my burden from day one that we would hear this message at the very beginning. And I just rejoice. And you know, there are some who are qualified to preach on things and others who aren't. And if anybody's qualified, it's Brother Rick to stand up there and say, I could forgive someone who took the life of my dad.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank God. I thank God that though there are deep hurts in men's lives, some of us who can't even relate can glean from their lives. There are truths, and then there are truths that we live. And to hear my brother say, I forgive that woman. Mm. I listened. And I heard Rick, my brother, also say that there is another message. And that is the message on seeking someone's forgiveness. And that is still just as much of a burden on my heart. I've held it for 10 days now, and I feel like I just need to share that. As a young man, I had to forgive my dad and 3 stepdads and my grandfather for the way he raised my mother, that put me through a life like that, and my brothers. And then I had to forgive several boyfriends who lived in the home and beat me up and beat my brothers up and gave drugs to us. And I have forgiven them, and I have found grace. I know what Rick's talking about. I have found grace. But I can't help but think that there is a place where it would be so sweet, not only for me, but for my dad, who's still living, to come to, if not me, but maybe my brother, who's turned his back on God, who's a Muslim now, and say, Brian, how did I hurt you as a little boy? I would rejoice. First of all, my dad's got to get saved. But there's something so healing
when we have been forgiven so much, to realize that ministry that's been entrusted to us, to go to people that we may have hurt and said, and say to them, how have I hurt you? I know we often say that we've chuckled about it even around our supper table over the last 7 years since moving to Charity. We hear it said many times, if I've hurt anybody or if you see something wrong in my life, please come to me. But I believe there's a depth of spiritual maturity when we get on our faces and pray and fast and say, Lord, who have I hurt? Would you show their face to me so that I can leave my gift at the altar and go to that person and say, I might be wrong, I might be totally off base, but have I hurt you somehow through an attitude, through some aloofness or through some pressure or whatever? I feel like I may have done this, but maybe after those words are spoken, to turn to that person and say, now I'd like to hear from you. What do you think I've done to hurt you? Those words would be so sweet to hear from my dad. You know, some of the most beautiful times I've had in my married life and as a dad finding his way is when I've walked in from a busy day at work. I'm a farmer. I work in a chicken farm. And I walk in and I see my wife with tears in her eyes seated on the floor, and I see little children on the couch. And I've seen it more than once. And I hear my wife say, children, I just feel like I have hurt you. Will you please forgive me? And it just does something inside my heart to see those tears in her eyes and then to hear her say, how has mommy hurt you? There's something so sweet about that. Could we have a revival in going to people and saying, how have I hurt you? Could we ask our wives that? Could we ask our sons and daughters that? I do believe revival tarries. As Rick said, when we get this right, as well as this, God's free to pour forth His Spirit. Because we value one another. And I don't believe He just gives His Spirit, as we've heard this, for experience sake. But He wants to bless us so that we will be a blessing. Mm-hmm. Is there a more healing ministry than to come up to someone we may have hurt and said, how have I hurt you? I want to beg your forgiveness. Oh, it would do wonders for marriages. It would do wonders for raising of children. It's brokenness.
Yes, amen. Thank you, brother, for sharing the heart of the Lord in that. We brethren and sisters want that. Is that right? We want that. Our heart longs for that. Yes, amen. Yes, another hand over here, or is the one on the sister's side? Okay, there's a sister who has a microphone. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I was very blessed by the message this morning, and it just really reminded me again of a quote that I heard recently that I thought just really reflected the reality of what unforgiveness really does to us. And that quote was that unforgiveness is the poison we drink, hoping the other person will die.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't quite hear everything you said, but I got the part, unforgiveness is a poison that we drink. Is that right? Yes.
Hoping the other person will die.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Sorry, it's a little hard to hear up here sometimes. Okay, yes, Billy.
Yeah, I was very challenged by the message this morning, and one area I felt the Lord speaking in my heart was holding a grudge for somebody else. In my family, my blood family, there's a situation with my brother that I feel like I've been holding him at arm's length in my heart, and for my parents' sake, how he just doesn't call them, doesn't talk to them, makes promises and doesn't follow through, and just hurt my mom so much. And you know, when I talk to her about it and ask her if she's ever heard from him. No, he doesn't call. And I feel like I've held a grudge for my mom. And I just want to publicly say that I want to let that go and give that to God and free my heart up from that area. And so I don't want to hold a grudge, even my own heart. I feel like there might be some unforgiveness there as well, but also a grudge for my mom's sake. And I just want to let that go and confess that before you all and before God, that God would set my heart at liberty in that area. Thank you.
Amen, Billy. Thank you. All right. Is there anyone else on the sister's side that has a microphone? No? Okay. All right. Well, thank you for sharing. I think maybe we'll close the meeting there as far as sharing. Thank you. It's always a blessing to hear the heart of, you know, the church and be edified together.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll-free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Ephrata Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.